Are you looking for food truck books to read, but you're starting to feel overwhelmed with all the content? Or maybe you're trying to find answers to your questions, but you realize you haven't asked the right questions to get those answers. Well, you're in luck. I wrote the book, Before You Launch a Food Truck, 8 Questions Every Aspiring Food Trucker Should Ask. For the past 5 years, I have been studying the food truck industry and been a diehard food truck customer. And in the process of that, I've learned a lot about what makes a good food truck stand out among the rest. I took 8 of those key concepts and created a book where I could have curbside conversations with each of you about them. What makes this book different is not only that it's digestible and designed to not overwhelm you, but it also propels you into action. You can purchase Before You Launch a Food Truck today at thefoodtruckscholar.com/shop in paperback and ebook format, as well as on Amazon. For every copy purchased, I'm donating a copy to organizations committed to helping formerly incarcerated individuals re-enter society, particularly those that are interested in starting their own food business. So, buy a copy today to help yourself and someone else get rolling and keep trucking. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Food Truck Scholar Podcast. I'm your host, Ariel D. Smith, and I appreciate you for choosing to kick it with me for yet another episode. Make sure you share your thoughts on today's episode on social media using the hashtag TFTSPodcast. Although today's guest is based in Fishers, Indiana, don't let that fool you. You may find her and her food bus, that's right, food bus, anywhere in the state. Tanya Coleman, aka Chef TLC, caught my attention in Indianapolis when her food bus named Faith and the beautiful graffiti art all around it was at a local food truck festival. Today, we discuss how family and her experience in the food service industry prepared her for the food bus, why she chose the bus over the usual Freightliner truck and trailer, and so much more. So sit back and relax. The show starts now. Chef Tanya, I'm so excited to have you, Indians, in the house. So, for my listeners, can you just state your name, the name of your food truck, and where you're located?
Yes, the name of my food truck is Faith. Business name is Chef TLC, aka Just a Cook, located in Indy area, all around suburbs, Fishers, Greenwood, Avon, any location that we can find.
Well, listen, you can also find West Lafayette, Indiana. So just come on up an hour and come see me. Come see me.
65 North.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please. In all seriousness, though, there is an event that we have every fall at Purdue at the Black Cultural Center. It's called Boiler Fest. That is where all of the Black, not just the Black organizations on campus, but there's also different entities in the greater Lafayette area that often come up and they on campus. And so the whole Black student body comes out. So you're looking at hundreds of people being present in that one spot. And I know the person that coordinates that. So if you're interested, I can try to connect you and see if, you know, if there's space for you to come up and, you know, provide food and whatnot. So that might be something to look at in all cases.
Yes, and just forward that email, and I'll go over with my co-owner, Reggie Coleman, and we'll have a look at it. We're
say less.
Open for opportunities.
Say less. I'll take care of that this week.
Okay.
Listen, I need more Black food trucks up here.
I hear you. Got the good stuff, seasoned food. Not
you better say it. You better say it.
Yeah.
So, Chef TLC, tell me, so how did you get involved with cooking?
So, basically, it's kind of hereditary. I had a grandmother that was just an awesome cook, and then my mother and my grandfather and then my mother's siblings. So, just kind of grew up around it. But at a young age, back in them days, we liked to play. So, So I didn't pay much attention as I should have, you know, to know this was my calling, that I eventually was going to have this great passion for making everybody happy with food. So I just kind of grew up with it.
You said it was a moment, like back then you didn't realize it was your passion. So what was the moment that it all clicked?
So basically, like once I graduated high school and come from little town, Marion, Indiana, just small, and no work for us. And we would help, like our grandmother, she would do, you know, big dinners. She would cater, you know, wedding cakes. And we kind of, with me watching her do this and helping along, I should have just like really paid more attention to it, but I didn't. And then once I got out of high school, I had to find something to really do. And then that's when I came to Indy and went to IUPUI for Restaurant and Hotel Institutional Management. And kind of messed that up a little bit, but, you know, we all make mistakes. And then after that, I landed a few food service jobs, and people noticed there was something I had a good talent for. And it's been 30 years that I've been in food service.
Wow. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. it's not every day that there's somebody that finds their passion. A lot of people, you know, they live their whole life and they never get a chance to do the thing that they are called to do.
Yes.
And so for you to find that, that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. It's one of my jobs is St. Vincent's Carmel in Carmel, Indiana. Had an opportunity with one of the directors to kind of almost like run the kitchen, and we offered a lot of good meals out of our retail cafe area, just providing good service and bringing, you know, staying trending and making sure, you know, we keep the customers. That's what you want to do when you're feeding somebody, make people happy with food, not, oh, I don't like this, I don't want that. Well, here, you know, I don't want to hear that. I want everybody to be happy, just like I want to be happy when I'm eating, you know?
Listen, the best, I went to a barbecue place today and was truly just impressed with everything that they did. And it was in stark difference from the last barbecue place I went to in this area where I was like, I'm going to eat it because I paid for it,
right,
but I'm not coming back here. Whereas this other place, I was just satisfied on all different types of levels. I'm like, yeah, I'm coming back for sure.
Yeah, get a return, yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we're really talking about, that's really customer relationship management, is how are you creating a space where your customers want to come back and they know that every time I come to you, the service is going to be quality, the product is going to be quality, everything about my interaction with this brand, with this business, and with this person is just going to be A1.
Yes. So basically, I kind of get them thrown off a little bit off tops because I'm not a food trucker, I'm a food busser. So I have a food bus, which that just throws everybody off. And the art that's done by Tony McClurkin, an artist from New York, you know, like graffiti, but I call him an artist, that just throws everybody off because they like it's 3D, and then they see this food, not a wrap, just paint, where he can paint it, and it just makes you want to be like, hey, I want that burger, you know, or that wrap. You got those wraps, so you see it on the outside of the bus, and that makes you feel like, I want to eat one of those, you know?
And you know, you're right, because I'm trying to think of, it was somebody in my PhD program that tagged me in a post about this food truck event in Indy. That's where I first encountered your truck, and I was talking to your husband that day.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me aback, because I can literally think of, just other than yours, I think I can only think of maybe one other bus that I've encountered, and that was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it stood out, and yes, the graffiti stood out as well for that exact same reason. So what made you go the route of the bus?
So the route of the bus, more reasonable in price and a better engine, because they say with the Freightliners, that's what most truckers are, mm-hmm. Freightliners, like a UPS or a FedEx truck. And then what happens is you get a school bus. I don't know. It's just something about a bus. I mean, God saying something to me about this bus. And I was like, I told my family, let's find a short bus. That's what I thought at first. But we ended up finding a big bus, and it had low miles. What they do when buses hit a certain mileage, they're mm-hmm. still good, but for caution for children, they sell them. They sell them pretty reasonable in price. And we found the bus, and we have more length of space to put equipment in there, maybe a little less headroom. You just have to be used to it, which I'm a little bit taller, so I know not to, you know, stand straight up or bend down at a certain period in there, you know. But I have more, I can provide more equipment in my bus, and I'll have, like, still have, like, probably 6 feet to add on if I wanted to add on and have plenty of equipment in there. It's just a better buy. It was a better buy. I'm going to tell you, there was difficulty with installing my hood system because they had to cut into my roof. So they had to raise my roof to put my hood system in there. Orlando, he's another food trucker which built the food bus for me, and me and him both designed the inside, agreed on this being placed here, this being placed there, you know, and he did a wonderful job on it. It's beautiful inside. It looks just like a kitchen.
Wow. I want to check it out one day. I want to see how it looks. Cause a lot of times I jump on food trucks and see what it's like on the inside. So I've been on the inside food trailers. I've been in food trucks. I have yet to be on a food bus.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for you to come. Yeah, we're going. I might have you work cash that day.
Hey, I like it. I can take money.
Okay.
I know how to take money. You got the right person. I got Cash App, Venmo, I got whatever app they need. I will download it for the buses. You ain't already got it. I got you covered.
Oh, okay. I hear you. Yeah.
But you're dropping a lot of gems. Oh, my gosh. Because I'm thinking about with the Freightliners, typically they're, you know, FedEx and UPS. And then for, like, the smaller dessert trucks, a lot of times they use old USPS little runner trucks.
Okay. Yeah.
And a lot of times what happens is that they run them out. Like, you know, they run them until you really can't no more on to a degree. And by the time that's done, you looking at 80 something thousand miles, sometimes more, on them. And, you know, I hadn't really looked too much into the food bus. And honestly, it was you, most definitely after you. But when I first saw that the food bus in Chicago, that stood out to me. That was the first time I saw it. And that was literally around this time last year, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they just recently had something there in Chicago, too. Coming soon or something. Yeah, it's with food trucks. Yeah.
So what stands out about Chicago is that they have Chicago Food Truck Rally is the Food Truck Festival is the organizer behind it. And I noticed they did this last year. They actually held multiple ones throughout the summer. So they had one last year in May, then they had another one in June, then July, then August and September. And I think the one I went to, it was the September one. So almost a year. I went to the one in September because I stopped in Bloomington, Illinois first. And then next day I was in Chicago. So it's been a year since I've seen a food bus, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with that bus also, they run, well, mine's a diesel, and it had low miles. It hadn't even hit 100-some thousand miles. The International, that's the brand of the engine. I'm a bus owner, so I have to know these things. And they said that bus can, with taken care of, it can run up to 300-some thousand miles. So, I mean, like at this time, we're doing nicks and this and that, you know, upgrading it a little bit because it's a 1999. But by the time we get done with it, it's going to be a 2020, you know, just, you know, taking care of it like we had to do with our own vehicles, oil changes, filters and stuff like that. It had a few little issues with it. And not only the builder of my kitchen, they also work on cars. So it's a godsend, everybody together. I tell you, I thank him for everything. Yeah.
Man, oh my gosh, you're dropping a lot of gems. This is a question I should have asked food truck owners, and I'm going to ask the next food truck owner I talk to this question. So did you have to get like a CDL license to drive it?
So basically, seeing no passengers, And all our seats are removed out of there. No passengers. My husband just drove. First one, that was another obstacle. There's a lot of things you learn. He was like, it's big. And he wasn't really going to take it on. That's big, you know, big RV, you know. He's like, he had a brother who used to drive for the school system. So we had to find him, you know, get a hold of him, have him run the bus back and forth for us. And then he just took it on one day. His brother's like, I'm going to teach you how to drive this, bro. So no CDL to it, just like no passengers. So just equipment on there, you know.
Wow.
So you don't have to have any license for that because there's no people on, you know, you're not traveling people. But if it was an RV or something, maybe a different type of license. But when we went to get our license and stuff, yeah, you have to make sure that's what you're using it for when you get your plates and all that stuff, and it, you know, goes on the food truck. So, yeah.
The reason why I ask is because my mom used to be a bus driver.
Yes.
Yeah, for a school system. So that's the difference. It's for a school system. And yes, she had to get her CDL license. I think she's like a Class B or something like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had checked all into all that to make sure that we didn't have to have any license or, you know, have to go through that, you know, go back in and get that license if we had to for the bus. But I've actually had a little test drive for, I did a little parking lot driving, but I had to get used to it. It's so big, it kind of, I don't know, I got a little bit intimidated by it, but I'm a learn. Yeah.
That's real. Like, and in this field, you have to be a constant learner.
Yes.
I wanted to go back to the graffiti real quick. So you said it was an artist out of New York?
His name is Tony McClurkin. And you know how they have like those booths that set up in you say the malls or the flea markets where they do the shirts or they do the license plates or stuff like that.
The airbrush stuff.
Yeah, there we go. There it is, airbrush, yes. And I don't know, I had his card and I was thinking they were staying wraps. It's on a whole bunch of money for the rapper booth. That's a bus. That's going to be about $8,000. I'm like, that's more money than I spent to buy the bus. So, or even putting in equipment, you know. So that's a little steep. I'm going to over wrap it at that high price. And something, his card was right there. I'm telling you, everything is godsend for me. And I just took the card and I called him up and we spoke about it. And eventually he got around to working on it, was excited about it, and he got a little bit of touch up to do. I was going to have it clear coated, you know, to keep it, to save it during the winter, but I had a few body shop guys look at it, and they said, just have him touch it up, and he's going to touch it up for me. Tony McClurkin. Yeah, great guy.
Because when I saw the graffiti, I stood out because my research is about food trucks and hip-hop. And so when I saw it, I was like, you can't get more clear than that.
Yeah.
It did a great job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was so, like, into it, you know, where he's like, what do you want to put on here? What do you want to put on this side? What are we going to do on this side? So one side is almost like a lunch side, and then we can offer breakfast. We hadn't really, well, we did a breakfast at an event where we did breakfast and lunch, and I did like sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches. I had I think she was gluten-free, so I did like an egg sandwich for her, so she had like two fried eggs and ham, just catering to people's needs because everybody's diets nowadays are so special, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you want, you come to, I don't want this, what can you offer for me? I think it was on east side of town. She was a meat, you know, not meat, no meat. And I loaded them fries up, did loaded fries. I grilled my toppings for the wraps and, you know, peppers and onions and all that good stuff, and did her loaded fries with that, added cheese sauce to it. So I try to cater to people's needs. It makes you feel better when you eat, right?
you just got me all types of hungry.
I know, right?
Like,
me too.
Oh, God. I'm this close to risking it all just to show up, like, after work this week, knowing good and well I need to be saving this money.
We'll get together soon. So I have like a lot of people that kind of spread the word for me. Like this week we go out. There's a Why Cook Wednesday. So it's like an apartment complex, and there's a young lady named Kim that she's in, you know, inside. She called me up and she'll text, Miss Coleman, can you come today? Just random. I don't know if people cancel or whatever. I'm like, yes, I'm trying to get, you know, my foot out there in the street. I'm trying to be that street chef. So anybody cancel, yeah, I'll pick up if I can make it happen. We go there Wednesday, Why Cook Wednesday. I think St. Francis is on the south side. That's on Thursday. We're on Avon, which is another apartment complex, and then Lowe's mm-hmm. Call Center. So we're kind of lined up, you know, daily out there for lunches.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another one. They just had it past weekend, but keep it on your calendar for next year and see. Shoot your shot and see. Taste of Tippecanoe is a festival up here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I went last year, and there was only one black food truck, mobile food vendor out there, and they was doing like pina coladas and stuff like that. And yeah. They were based out of Indy.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was trying to connect with them. They're like, oh, well, this truck that we have, this one is in Indy. So that kind of let me know that there's possibly some space for people that's not necessarily in Tippecanoe County to be present. So I just mm-hmm. say that to, you know, possibly put on your calendar as well.
Okay. I'll look that one up. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. That's Taste of Tippecanoe.
Yeah, Taste of Tippecanoe. Yeah.
Yeah, they have it like every, what is this? Is this what, the second, that would have been second Saturday, third Saturday? I'm bad at math.
Yeah, second.
Yeah. There we go. So it would have been like the second.
It's the second, yeah. Uh-huh.
You saw I was struggling.
I'm off. We're third. It's the third. We way off.
Yeah. You see, I was struggling.
Yeah. I'm like, what is it? Yeah, it's the third. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I was struggling. But they always have it that weekend from what I can tell, because they had it this time last year, and it happened, you know, this past weekend. So I would reach out to them and see if they had that. Then they have other smaller events like Mosey Down Main Street. They have it on a regular occasion. So if you up to coming up here, you can mm-hmm. also build like a following this way and say, hey, you know, one time out of a month, this is, you know, where I'm going to be, or how often you choose to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's what is helping us right now, that we're not just centering ourselves. And, well, like I said, we're in Fishers, but we're going out on the other sides of town. We hit the west side. We're going to the south side. You know, we went down to a horse race past Edinburgh, right in that same area.
Mm, okay.
It was an experience for me. I mean, I have a granddaughter's horse crazy, and I was like, all these horses, it was just like, you know, wow. The all like 200 to 300 some horses. And basically, they used to have like a place that served food, and I got connected with them. And when we did like a chicken and rice was their main dish, and like sold out. We was there for 2 days. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a great experience going to the IEA horse show.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, your passion, not just for cooking, but for mm-hmm. making sure that your customers have a positive experience with yes. you. And so mm-hmm. I know that that comes in part from the 30 years of experience you have in the food service industry. But on the business side, what has been your exposure to entrepreneurs growing up?
So basically, like I spoke about my grandparents earlier, my grandfather, he was a military, and then he ended up working at the Marion VA. So he would go to Chicago, and he would purchase like crates of fish, like buffalo, catfish, perch, whatever, and then bring them home that same Saturday. And he would clean up, and they're calling for Brother Tom. Back in them days, no cell phones. Phones ringing off the hook before he even gets back in the home with the fish from Chicago to sell. So it was just something that they lacked in Marion. And then from there, he went, since it was so big, you know, he was doing so well with it, he opened a fish market. And that's kind of where I you know, learned how to do different little things like that from him with the fish. I didn't really never clean them or handle them. I did more to eat than to eat, but yeah. Yeah, like I said, I should have been more learning than, you know, doing other things. But I mean, to see it, you know, the phone ringing, is Brother Tom back yet? And he's not even got home from Chicago. He lets them know he's going up there to pick that fish up. He cleans them, cuts the heads off. So he would buy them whole. And then he would do all that, you know, kind of weigh them out, you know, by pounds and everything. It was a learning experience watching him do that. Then, like I said, my grandmother, she also was great with wedding cakes and catering. She worked at Marion General Hospital, and she did a lot of catering for people, too, by cakes, by, you know, making just great people. Just great people, yes.
And, you know, what amazes me is that a lot of times we say, yeah, we should have been paying more attention and learning.
Yes.
But it's amazing how much we retain subconsciously just being in that space.
Yes. Yes.
Cause I think I just knew up and down, like, I'm never going to be a teacher. Never going to do it. Like, my aunt, my great aunt who raised me, her degree, first person in our family to get a degree was in early childhood education. And I'm surprised now at years later when I teach my classes, ironically, I'm thinking about stuff that she taught me.
Yes.
Mm. And it was never my goal in life, like, oh, this is what I'm gonna do, so let me pay attention. I did everything, but because I was around her, because she taught me, and because I was at the daycare center when she was teaching everybody else, there's just something that just got soaked into me.
Yes, yes, and I believe that too, because so say when I started, you know, pursuing my cooking skills and stuff, and I was doing more of the cooking part of it. And then one manager, she was like, well, the baker called in. I'm like, oh, I'm not the baker. And I was like, I don't do the baking, the other stuff. Even like, well, I do soups and I don't eat soups, but I can make the best soup. I can make soup run out. But when she said, listen, I want to have you do the baker today. I'm like, oh, it's kind of chickening out on it. Knowing I've been watching my grandmother all these years, and like you said, it soaked in, and I got over there and started baking. That's one thing. Sometimes you don't find a chef or that does both. They may not do sweets and meat, or, you know, there's, you know, that goes in a pastry chef. A pastry chef may not do entrees, you know. There's a separation with that. But for me, I'll take it on. I'll Pinterest it, and I'll figure it out, you know.
That's true. And there's some people that say, you know, I'm a savory chef, but I'm not a pastry chef.
Yeah.
And you know, that's fine. But one thing that I'm hearing out of your story is that there were moments in your life where that skill had to come out.
Yes.
And when you're doing something that you love and that you have a passion for, oftentimes that's what happens, that you find yourself doing things that you thought you couldn't do. And then looking back, like, man, look at that. I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm, you know, I just go for it. Like I said, there used to be a time I'd be like, oh no, I can't, you know, but now I just take it on. There's like no stopping me, except for my knifing skills. It's a little bit not so good with my knifing skills, but being creative and making it melt in your mouth, now I can do that, yeah.
Well, that's all I really need.
Right.
That's all I really need. So, you know, you had your grandparents as your exposure to entrepreneurship. When you decided to do your food bus, were there any people that you had as like mentors to help you on that journey?
No, I'm gonna be thankful to God for that, because I guess with me seeing them and then, I don't know, they're going on now, and I don't know why this was a passion. It's something, I guess, that he, you know, he wants me to do. There's no one right now that, nobody but God has in my life that helped me through this journey and dream and take it step by step and keeping the faith and being patient with him, you know, and myself. Just wanting to be my own boss, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, that's a word for a lot of people, because there are a lot of people that are in spaces where they are the only person or one of the few people doing what they do.
Uh-huh.
And at first, if you encounter something like that, you may take it as a sign of, oh, well, maybe I should do this. When if you flip it on its head, maybe you are the person to do it.
Yeah.
That's a word in and of itself.
Yeah, and I do say I have family. You know, they support me 100%. My husband, you know, co-owner, he's great with it, you know, and he knows my talent and my two sons and then just family keeping me lifted. Like, they all know because they see and they eat what, you know, they get some of that good stuff. So they like, you know, they call me by my nickname. Tanya Lynn, that's where the TLC comes in from. My initials are actually TLC, so it's Tanya Lynn Coleman. They just tell me you're good, and everybody's proud of me right now. So I just want to, you know, keep it going, keep it moving.
And having that affirmation and support is huge.
Yes.
Because that's honestly what keeps me going. A lot of times I'm like, I don't know. And there's always a person there that says, you know what, you on track, you doing what you're doing, we got you, we proud of you, keep moving forward.
Yeah, that helps me a lot.
What have been some challenges you have experienced in the food bus / food truck industry?
Let's say when we were out there, when there's multiple trucks, me and the bus, it's kind of not a good situation if you don't have large crowds, because therefore then everybody, you might come across, so say we were invited somewhere and we thought we were the only vendor that day, but then everybody whipped up around us. You know, if everybody's offering something different, then yeah, we can all share, you know, but if not, then it's kind of like could be a loss depending on the crowd. I haven't experienced it a lot, but it was an experience. So I kind of like being solo, let's say it like that. And, you know, with the big, I know that they just recently had something downtown in the end. They said there were plenty of people there, but it's first come, first serve basis on Georgia Street. You gotta remember, we got a bus, so we had to get there. I wouldn't know, you know, with us just going out to these other places at this time, it's being successful for us, with us just being solo. Yeah.
And with that, you know, you've learned all these ins and outs of the food truck industry, what works, what doesn't. You know, you've gone from seeing your family cook to now you're the person that's not only cooking for yourself and for your family, but for people all over the state. How has being a food bus owner, how's that made a difference in your life?
Oh, like, it's just, I still, you know, work a job, and then I had to alter the bus with that, you know, so it's like busy, and it's in the season right now, so I think they say you go, food truckers work 9 months out of a year. So right now I don't foresee a vacation at any time, because we're going to be trying to make this business grow. So I just need to get, like, I handle most of everything. My husband's a big help with going to get groceries. We all have our part, but like the emails and the social media and locations and all that good stuff, I kind of keep, you know, track of that and keep it going. I have my cash system. I have to keep that up to date. And just a lot. It's a lot of work. It's hard work. But I know hard work pays off.
And I know you said, you know, y'all are hustling because y'all want to expand. In what ways would y'all like to expand?
Eventually, so say like when we was down in the South Edinburgh, they were coffee crazy. And I'm not a coffee person, so that was like a bad thing, but we worked it out, so we had to do the coffee, and I guess if I was a coffee person, you know, like Starbucks, you know, the Mixmaster coffee, if I probably drank coffee, then that would be something that I would want to do, because I was so surprised at how people drink coffee all day, you know, just for energy, I guess. And something like that, smoothies, coffee, and then like recently we've been having like young kids. They ask, do y'all got ice cream? We run Faygo as our drink, and we were thinking maybe eventually, that's why we have that bus we still have with the grow. We can add another freezer in there, and we do Faygo soda, so we could almost do like a root beer float, you know? So there's options, and if I could, I'd like to cater to the kids also, because they, you know, I mean, I can offer them something, but if I had opportunity to grow, I was going to have like something for the kids when we pulled up, and then I had the little mini bus or something, and then they could offer something for the kids.
I'm thinking about, you know, different trucks that kind of do what you was talking about. So being on a college campus, I am aware of how addicted people are to caffeine and coffee in particular. There are some people, you do not speak to them in the morning until they have finished their whole cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's a real
I'm like,
thing.
Whoa. Yeah.
Nah, it's a real thing. I was I was actually in Walmart's parking lot a few days ago, and I saw a food truck and I pulled up. It was actually, this is the first time I've seen this. This food truck is supposed to be just a coffee food truck. It was it was sitting there actually going through inspection from the health department. But supposed to be a coffee food truck. In Atlanta, it's a black-owned food truck called Smooth and Groove. All they do is, like, smoothies and stuff like that. And then I'm thinking about up here in West Lafayette, we got Pink Walrus, which does frozen yogurt. And there's one that is actually a franchise called Kona Ice. I've seen them. So there are definitely some out there. And except for Pink Walrus, Pink Walrus is a long trailer, real long. Kona Ice is very small. Smooth and Groove is like a standard size food truck from what I've seen. And then the coffee truck, I think that was the smallest one next to Kona Ice. I think Kona Ice is the smallest, and then the coffee truck. So yeah, there's a lot of people that's really into the like dessert refresher type thing.
Yeah. I think during, you know, our season's been a little funny right now, but when it was warm, you know, and they just wanted something cool, you know, and then they was asking about smoothies and the ice cream and stuff like that. So when I was on the east side of town, they had like, I don't know what kind of little mini school bus they had, and they had similar to the Kona Ice, and it was just so cute, you know. And I think they was right behind us. So you got the big food bus, and then you had the little mini school bus, and it was so cute. It was cute. I was liking it myself.
Tell me you got a picture
of that little school bus behind me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to look up or reach out to somebody and see if I can find it. If not, I'll try to get a hold of it. It was so cute.
I would just love to see like this big bus, and then there's like this little baby bus.
Yeah, right behind me. We pulled up, turned the right way, and then she's like, "Oh, I think I need to turn this way." And then she was parked right behind us, like it was the mini, like the big version and the mini version or something. Yeah, I would love to expand, you know, eventually, you know, grow like that way, quit the job and just do food truck busing. Or my husband, he likes trucks, but I like the bus idea, you know.
It stands out for sure. It definitely does. Now, while we doing all this talking about what will be on this on the menu in the future, let's talk about what's on this menu now, because you had me hungry in the beginning. So what's some of your favorite items?
Well, what's been running, and I never would have guessed, because it's not pictured on my bus, but it's a Philly steak, and I believe that the reason that Philly steak is going is because of the bun that it's being placed on, and then that seasoning. And I'm not sharing. It's just some seasoning. We just play it like that. I can tell you what that good stuff's on there, But if they like get that Philly steak, I'm like, and they get that, and then we just recently started offering the Big R Burger, and then it's got that good seasoning on it, and it's hand padded, and just a nice thick size hamburger patty with that good seasoning on it, and you can smell it coming out the hood system as a fries on that grill. It's great. We had a tenderloin that's out of Swayze, Indiana. It's a little north of here, local manufacturer. And we run that tenderloin. They have several flavors. They have a large one, they have a seasoned one, and they have a spicy one. And those are great sellers too. We toss wings.
Yeah. Y'all didn't tell me you had multiple tenderloins, because I had one.
Oh, yeah. One's a little darker. It's red. It's the spicy one. It just have a little of a kick to it. It's not real bad, but you know it's got a little of a kick in it. And then the seasoned one. So those are the two I keep on board, the seasoned and that spicy one. It's a win-win with that tenderloin. No matter what, people, I guess, in Indiana, they say love a tenderloin. But the Philly steak been out doing my tenderloin. Yes.
And then you say you got wings that you be tossing.
Yeah, we toss. So the wings are tossed in sauce. Instead of just getting your wings fried up, I offer a barbecue with it's a little special barbecue sauce that I fix up a little bit at the commissary. I add a little more seasoning to some good barbecue sauce and make my own up. And then I do a garlic parmesan. And then just your basic hot wing sauce. So I toss them 6 to 12. You get, whatever you want to order. The 6 or half a dozen or 12. The chicken wrap. It's pretty good seller also. Yeah.
I'm loving it right now. So listen, y'all. When it comes down to cooking, there's two things. There's seasoning and then there's that good seasoning.
Yes.
And I'm coming to you because I want that good seasoning.
Yeah, that good stuff. Yeah, and I guess if you, I don't know about other, truckers, but even with the French fries, we're putting a little bit of seasoning on there. It's not seasoning salt because we ain't trying to run your blood pressure up. What are you shaking? Can y'all shake some seasoning salt? No, we got some seasoning for you. You want extra? We give you a little extra, but we got seasoning. So that's maybe when we get a win too, because we're seasoning our food, and it's not going out bland. Make you want to come back.
Listen, you got to tell our listeners about the loaded fries you were telling me about.
Yeah, so basically, if you had like Philly steak meat or I was doing the chicken wrap, you can have at that as an option. I can put that on top of the fries and then put some jalapeno cheese sauce on top and some avocado ranch dressing tossed on the side. Just going across the top of that. Just spread a little bit of avocado ranch on top of that cheese sauce, and it's there. It's all good.
You should see the face I'm making. When you were at church and the pastor say something real good to you and you stand up and you fold your arms and you curl your lips in, you squint your eyes and you shake your head. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. So it's just simple things. And then catering to you. Like you came to the bus and you want them loaded fries. I'm not going to say, hey, I can't do them today. I'm going to make it happen.
We making this drive happen soon. I got to find a way. Purdue is going to release my funds, and I'm coming down 65.
Yeah. See you soon. Yeah, we got you when you get here. Yeah. We're going to take care of you.
I'm looking forward to it. So, Chef TLC, break it down for me. If you had one piece of advice for an aspiring food truck entrepreneur, what would that be?
Never give up on your dream. Never give up on your dream. The devil's going to be hard, working hard on you, but just never give up. Keep moving forward. Stay patient. You may have to eliminate some people in your life that's not, on your team and you thought they were on your team. You need to surround yourself with positiveness. People that are going to encourage you to keep moving forward to make it a success. I just need those type of people in my life, you know. So just keep moving forward. Don't give up, because there's going to be those days where you're like, oh, this is not going to work. Or there's going to be, oh, it's another obstacle. I'll tell you, we got permitted in Hamilton County, and then we had obstacles in Marion County, and I'm just getting discouraged. You know, there's those days that you're going to have discouragement, but, you know, you get it fixed, and you do what's right. You do it the right way. You don't come out there so there's any problem. When the Board of Health pops up on you, you go in with a clean slate. You don't have to worry about anything. But once we went back into getting those things fixed that they, you know, caught that weren't major, then we weren't ready to go. So it's been just a journey in itself. But don't give up. Don't give up. It's going to get better.
In other words, keep the faith.
Keep the faith. Yes, there it is.
To pull in the name of your food truck, we got to keep the faith.
Yeah, the end. Yes, that's it. Keep the faith.
Well, look, I'm out of time, but I'm definitely not out of material. Once again, thank you for kicking it with me for another episode of the Food Truck Scholar Podcast. If you are a food truck owner that would like to be a guest or a listener that has suggestions for a food truck I should try, email me at Ariel, that's A-R-I-E-L, at thefoodtruckscholar.com. And make sure you follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as The Food Truck Scholar to stay up to date on the latest in the food truck world. I'm your host, Ariel D. Smith, signing off and reminding you to eat local, buy local, and support your local food truck owners. I'll see you next week.